Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Pop.
The views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
Morning, your morning cup of sports right here on RadioAFS.com, BlogTalk.com, Fatboy Media, DRCP Army. I am B. Evans, and with me tonight, or today, is my good buddy, my snoozing partner, my Cabbage Patch doll-looking best buddy, Farmer. What is up, man?
Hey, my man, how you doing? I'm shocked that management even let me in the studio after my cattywampus talking yesterday.
Well, see, it was one of those things where, you know, they approached me and they said, hey, look, you know, farmer's out. He's a little bit extreme for us anymore, and he's just out of control. We can't do it. And I said, well, look, man, without Farmer, there's no morning cup of sports. Without Farmer, there's just no good show on the network with him in it. I mean, Farmer brings the flavor to the shows that he's in. Without Farmer, we can't have the meltdowns when people call in to claim that they're not bandwagon fans. And, you know, I was like, and plus, Farmer's so sweet and gentle and kind. And,
oh,
well, he loves us. And they said, yeah, he's fired. Right. And then I heard that Farmer went into the office with the door shut. Next thing I know, Farmer's got his job back.
Yeah.
No.
I didn't even have to get on my knees.
He was under the desk, and he wasn't cleaning.
No. Oh man, I thought walking into the studio, man, I was sure crap nothing was gonna work, or, you know, get a message come across the screen. Hey, a-hole, how did you pass through security? I don't know, dumb luck.
Oh, I seen you coming through. I thought it was like some Mission Impossible type shit.
Yeah,
I heard the music playing and everything.
Yeah, so I still got a meeting with upper management coming after the show, so hopefully your boy Farmer here still has a job. Not that they fucking pay me or anything, but, you know, hey, it's rat fuckers.
So how was your night, man?
Man, I you know, it's been crazy, surrounded by fires. Look outside, it's like a scene from a horror movie. It's bad out there, bro. It's as you can tell, my cold's coming back with freaking a vengeance, and yeah.
Surrounded by fires.
Yeah.
All right.
All of Fremont, Washington. Oh, yeah.
The wildfires going on.
Well, yeah, pretty much not all of it, but, you know, vast majority of Montana, Idaho, Washington, Oregon, and Wyoming. California, pretty much the West Coast is, like usual, burning on fire. So, you know, you got the you got the flooding down south, you got the fires out west. It's almost biblical.
Well, and it's crazy. I was about to say that, you know. I mean, there's so many. I mean, we got major water issues going down, you know, down in the south, and then where we need water, we can't get water. You know, we got Hurricane Irma now coming in, you know,
right.
off the, coming in from the Atlantic Ocean, and you're looking at NFL teams are looking to possibly, like, they're prepared to move, like, prepared to be going somewhere else to play their games if need be.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I mean, the situation with Texas is bad, and it's coming in with Hurricane Irma coming in. It's starting to spread across the southern part of the United States. And then we got fires going up north where, you know, Montana, from what I was reading on, is their actual breathing air is down to like minimal percentage to where it's even barely safe to breathe anymore. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's
that's actually how we are here in Washington. So yeah, it's bad, man. It's it's almost time to wear a freaking respirator or a mask just to be able to breathe safely. It's crazy.
That's bad, man. Bad. And I hope everybody's okay out there. Everybody's, you know, getting by. You know, they got to figure out a way to end this soon. You know, I mean.
Yeah, man. I agree. You know, and then had to go into work yesterday a little bit. Water main blew. I'm a farmer, but I also work for a assisted living hospital, and the main water blew. So I have got right around about 2 hours of sleep in me. So you just never know what I'm going to say again today. So management, screw you. So how was your cameo on Diner Faithful Radio?
Man, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I went in. When it comes to TJ, man, you don't have to do a lot of talking on his show because he does the talking for you. And he's prepared enough for 3 or 4 people on the show. So I didn't have to do too much work and. But, man, I'll tell you what, man, anybody who hasn't checked out this show needs to. Even if you're not a Niner fan, I'm telling you, this guy has so much knowledge and so much information. It's ridiculous. You're not going to find this kind of information on Wikipedia. It's crazy how much you can learn just from listening to an hour of his show.
Right.
But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I went ahead and made sure we posted up the announcement of the tickets that we'll be giving away later this week on the show as well, and let them all know that we will be giving that announcement away of the winner of that on this Friday right here on Morning Cup of Sports. And, yeah, so he's really excited about that. He's looking forward to finding out who's going to win the tickets to go see the game and everything.
And you did tell him that he was eligible to win, right?
I did tell him. He said that he was not eligible because of being a part of Radio AFS. But I did end up telling him after the show. I caught up with him. And was like, "Hey, you're eligible," because he made the joke. He's like, "Well, I'm not eligible." He's like, "But my girlfriend entered."
Nice.
So, but he's eligible, and he's going to be listening. He said he'll definitely be tuning in on Friday to find out who wins the tickets. So, that's going to be awesome. I'm really excited and looking forward to that.
Well, yeah, you know, I can't wait till Friday, man. It should be exciting. football is here. The last Monday, Labor Day, without football, going to be the last Thursday. Or, you know, we got football on Thursday, man. It's it should be fun, and shortly here pretty soon, you know, barring I still have a job, you know, we're going to be doing the NFL pick'ems, pick the team, not the point spread. And you got to get your picks in, man, because, you know, I don't want to say every week, oh, you should have picked. I'm whooping your ass, man. So get those in.
Oh, they're getting picked.
And that will be posted around on Radio AFS, you know, your morning cup of sports and all that other fun stuff. I was trying to get, you know, someone from each show so it could be the show's names, you know, picking and everything else like that. But we're just going to do it per, you know, per radio personality, which should be fun.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. And I think, I don't know, I'll have my picks up today. And, you know, it's going to be really funny, though, to see certain people picking their team every single week. Because we know it's going to happen. It happens every year.
Well, I don't know. You've heard on a former great show called the Paso Garage, Garage Radio, where Farmer picked not the 49ers every week. So,
yep.
You know, sometimes, you know, it's loyalty to my team. I'm faithful. But, yeah, I'm also looking at winning.
Common sense has got to kick in at some point there.
Right.
I mean, if you know the team is going to lose, well, like if you're a Browns fan and you're going against the Patriots, you'd be kind of an idiot. I understand you being a fan, but if you're trying to win, you don't really want to pick the Browns in that game.
Well, every dog has its day, B.
Maybe in the preseason.
4-0, baby. They are 4-0, so they're riding high, man. So
they are.
We'll see.
They are
because
and it's just
now. Excuse me. Now, you do know, you know, back in the 80s, 81, 82, 70s, 80s, you know, our beloved San Francisco 49ers, we were kind of like the Browns. And,
yes, I
know. You know, that's a, you know, and a lot of people are like, what? Yeah, you know, the Niners haven't always had a blessed history. You know? You know, Cool Joe and you know, there were, you know, within the first, I was like, granted, I was still a kid when Bill Walsh tried to test the waters on trading Joe Montana. Can you imagine what would have happened if somebody would have actually picked Joe Montana in that trade?
I don't even want to imagine that. I just, you know, it's hard to see. It's hard to know that he even left and went to Kansas City because, I mean, he set such a high standard with San Francisco, and he did mm-hmm. such an amazing job. So to see him with another team or to even know he was with another team, it just hurts. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like seeing Frank Gore, you know, being with the Colts. It just hurts. You know, it's just something you don't ever want to see.
It's also like, you know, Peyton Manning, you know, being a Bronco, you know, before.
Exactly. You know, it's crazy because that, it was like seeing Jerry Rice with the Raiders.
Right.
I mean, it's just not something you want to see. You know, it's sad. It's like they literally – it's like they stole – that was like for like a – like stealing a three-year-old's bag of candy on Halloween night. On their way home, got loaded up in a nice neighborhood, and then your bag gets snatched.
You mean
I mean, that kid's devastated. Do what?
You mean you're not supposed to do that? You're not supposed to do that?
And see, now you know that Palmer's a bully. But, I mean, you think about it. It's devastating for that child when that happens. Well, that's exactly how we feel.
Don't you knock on their head, say, knock, knock, trick or treat, and you take their candy. So it's technically not stealing. You knocked on them, and you said trick or treat, right?
You just got to hope that the parent don't beat your ass before you get away.
Got to catch me first.
Oh, I'm telling you right now, if somebody comes and snatches up one of my kids' bags while we're trick-or-treating for them or with them, ain't no way that I'm not catching you. Because if I can't catch you, I'm going to throw my phone at you. And my phone is a big, heavy piece of equipment.
Right.
Like, it's massive. I got a very big phone. Like, my phone's like the size of one of them Note phones. It's like the size of a Note 3, maybe a little bit bigger. But it's not a Galaxy, but it's really, really heavy. It's built for durability.
Right.
And I want to actually put this on a scale and weigh it just because I want to know how heavy it is. But it's heavy, dude. I accidentally dropped my phone on my old lady, on the sandwich maker's head, on her face while she was sleeping. Accidentally dropped it, and it gave her a black eye. And it literally dropped like 2 inches.
Accidental, huh? Accident. Oh,
dude,
sorry,
I was talking to Dan this morning and told him that, and he said the same thing. He said the key word there is accidentally.
Right. Hey, honey, sorry it fell. I apologize.
But literally, it was like 2 inches from her face, and it gave her a bolt.
Right. I wanted it diagonal. You cut it straight. I'm going to drop my phone on you.
Now, she did actually go to the gas station this morning.
I am so not going to be here tomorrow, man. I'm so going to get fired, but it's all good. I'm going to do this disclaimer because somehow, somewhere down the line, in my meeting with management, they're going to be like, you condone domestic violence. Now, let's not get this twisted. I do not condone violence of dropping a heavy-ass phone on any person. I do not condone violence. Man on man, woman on woman. Can I be in the middle of that one? Or man on woman, or woman on man, or anything of the sort. I just want to say, I do not condone it. So don't get my words twisted, management, because I'm coming for you after the show.
Notice that Mike Vick here didn't mention dog on dog or anything. So that must be okay, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, speaking of violence, the NFL's filed their motion to dismiss the Ezekiel Elliott case. They filed a motion to dismiss the federal case brought by the NFL Players Association in support of the Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott. Now, according to AJ Perez of the U.S. Today, the league claims that the NFLPA does not have the standing to seek a temporary restraining order for a decision that does not yet exist. The decision in question would be the opinion of arbitrator Harold Henderson in his review of the 6-game suspension imposed on Elliott by the league. So this is still an issue, which I'm still confused about this. Why is there still so much going on with Ezekiel Elliott's case when they have publicly announced that he was not found guilty of anything?
Right.
So why is
weird
this still
stuff.
An issue?
Well, you know, the NFL now has Trent Baalke, you know, looking for player development. The NFL is screwed. You got Roger Goodell, who, I don't know, man.
Unless it's Tom Brady, he don't give a shit.
Correct.
Well,
you know, and I'm sure somewhere down the line, here we go again, Farmer. Careful what you're going to say. I don't care. You want to know why I don't care? Because I don't care. I know there's somebody out there. Somebody thinking it. So I'm going to help you get your voice out there because you may be too scared to call into the radio, 646-668-8467, and voice that opinion. But here's the thing. I'm going to make it very black and very white. I think I just said enough right there, B. Black and white.
This makes my head hurt. Because
yep.
even though he's filing, he still has to wait. And then after the NFLPA does all their stuff and the court proceedings begin, then he can resubmit his claim for appeal. This is getting ridiculous. I mean, seriously, getting really, really ridiculous.
It's almost like a bad WWE script.
It is. It really is. I don't get it, man. Like, I really don't understand why are they continuously going after this guy when they have got nothing on him right now. They've got that only leads me to believe that they've got something, but they're not releasing what it is.
Right.
I mean, they've told us that there's nothing to get. There was no charge in the domestic violence case, but yet at the same time, they're still pushing this. So what grounds do you have to continue through with this? So it's got to be something more to it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
understand
agree,
making an example of somebody, but damn, why don't you make an example out of someone who actually did something? I don't remember his name, but it just came up the other day that the Miami Dolphins actually have a player that's in a domestic violence case now.
Yep.
You know, I mean, so why don't we leave Ezekiel Elliott alone? I mean, they're ruining it. Now, granted, I don't like the Cowboys at all. And so to watch them lose every week would be perfectly fine by me. But to see them ruin an individual's career over something that has been reportedly said that he did not do and has been proven that he did not do it and they've dropped the charges, then why is it still being pushed? Why are they trying to make an example?
I don't know, my man. If I had the answer, I wouldn't be here talking with you.
So, and then we got another salary issue going on as well.
Of course we do.
The first round draft pick in the 2000 draft, Sebastian Janikowski, is having issues with his salary going on with the Raiders. He's actually due to make $4 million this year, and the Raiders want him to take less. And to date, two sides, and today, the two sides have not agreed on a compromise. They are wanting him to take less money, $4 million for Sebastian Janikowski. Would you pay it, or would you not pay it?
$4 million for a kicker?
$4 million for a kicker. But it's Sebastian Janikowski.
I don't care if it was, you know. No! No! Take a pay cut.
Well, he's set to make that, which tells me that was in a contract. And now they don't want to pay him. Now, I don't keep up on the Oakland Raiders the Las Vegas Raiders.
You mean
now,
the Las Vegas Raiders.
I don't keep up on
there
the Raiders well enough to know, but I do remember Janikowski being a badass kicker at one point.
He's old, bro. He's old.
Yes, he is old. Paying $4 million for him, I don't see myself paying $4 million for him. But at the same time, if it was in a contract, then, I mean, kind of, you know, I don't know. I mean, this is a common tactic, though, that, you know, we see in the NFL. They're squeezing a veteran to take less money so late in the process. So, I mean, he's literally right at the end of the process here of where he needs to take it or not take it. But it's literally at the end where he has no other options. He don't have time to make a counter deal. So it's either take it or walk. Yeah. Now, the question, though, then you got the question that comes in of if he decides no and he walks, would another team be willing to pay for him, whether it's the $4 million that he wants, or would they pay more than what the Raiders are offering? Would they offer more than what the Raiders are offering? Would actually interest him into signing with that team?
Well, just take the money, Janikowski.
That's the thing, too. I mean, you're established.
Kick your little footy football.
Because, I mean, you got to think, now his agent has to jump around the fucking league, look in the market, see who would be interested. So he's got to make phone calls now, find out who's interested, see what their offers are, and then go to Janikowski with these offers. And, I mean, you're literally down to, you know, you're down to the last few minutes. You know, you're in overtime here. You're dwindling down. Game clock's running down. You need to make a decision soon. I mean, they're already looking. I mean, they're already being pretty serious about getting rid of Janikowski here. They're like, look, dude, we're not paying you this money. They've already gave tryouts to Mike Nugent, Josh Lambeau, and Marshall Cohen. So, I mean, they're already looking at younger kickers that have potential to be around for a long period of time. So they're already trying out new kickers and everything. Yeah, they're already looking at the next level. They're looking to move up. You know, I mean, they can't sit in the back. You know, they can't sit back and be like, oh, well, you know, we'll stick with the veteran that's been around for a while. I mean, clearly they're seeing something that, you know, needs to change, or they need to look at progression for the upcoming years.
Man, it's just age, bro. That's what this comes down to. Janikowski's
old. Well, that's
what
I'm saying. They're looking further ahead. They're looking for the future. And Janikowski's been with the Raiders. He's been with the Raiders his whole career, hasn't he?
I don't follow that degenerate team, but I think so.
I'm pretty sure he's been with them his entire career. But, I mean, you know, you need to understand that, you know, things change, times change. So,
right.
I mean, you need to take a little less, set a good example, be a coach. You know, teach that incoming guy that, you know, is going to learn how to fill your shoes, teach him. You know, you're still making money to sit on the sidelines. This guy comes in and does a good job. You're a backup kicker at that point. You know, but you're still being valued by the team.
You're unemployed.
Well, no, I'm saying if he takes the less deal. And that's probably what they're doing. They're offering him less money so they can bring in a fresh young kicker.
Right.
I mean, Janikowski's been in the league since 2000, dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's going on 18 years in the league. You're like six kicks away from your leg falling off in the middle of a, you know, field goal kick to win the game.
Right.
You're getting old. So you need to learn how to, you need to realize it's your time to step aside. You have an opportunity to still be a part of the team, still be a leader, still be a coach. You can coach the incoming guy. You can train them.
Right.
And so take the less money, stay with the team, or retire. But don't start it. Because if you turn down this money and you're like, oh, well, that ain't good enough, then they're going to end up getting rid of your ass. And then you're going to be, like you said, unemployed.
And looking for a job.
Exactly.
Flipping burgers and BK, baby.
But, Farmer, we do have a caller on the line.
All right.
And I can tell you who it is.
It's my boy, Trucker.
It's your boy, Trucker. What's going on, Trucker, your morning cup of sports? What's up, buddy?
Hey, brother, what's happening?
What's going on, Mother Trucker?
All right. Well, first of all, it's funny. Brian, when you were talking about wondering if Janikowski had been with the Raiders the whole time, I'm sitting here looking at it on NFL.com and yelling at you, so I figured you heard me all the way from D.C. But it's kind of funny. Like, yep, he's been there his whole career. Now, remember when they drafted him? They drafted him because the year before that, they had like 8 games they missed by 3 points. And it was like, wow. I mean, that was just sort of, their kicker then sucked. So they did the knee-jerk reaction, took a kicker with their first-round pick, which, if you think about it, was probably a smart move. A, it dealt them their number one need, you know, from that perspective. And punters, as a rule, don't get the millions of dollars of quarterbacks and receivers do, normally. And other than that, I agree with you completely there. And on the Ezekiel Elliott thing, so let me get this straight. The NFL is trying and convicting somebody who hasn't been convicted of anything. Golly, Clark, where does that sound familiar? Good old Clark. I mean, the thing is, I mean, just because some Muslim startup newspaper says these guys are on steroids, and the one thing they all have in common is they've been vocal about their faith in Christ. Golly, how about that? Yeah. Okay. You know, that gets up on the nerves. I'm not sure which one, the Muslims or Goodell, or if there's much of a difference. I'll get back to you on that. Now, other than that, how are y'all doing this morning? And, Brian, I think you're on stuff. You're on it today.
Well, I appreciate that.
And totally, Doug, your rant earlier, and I'm glad you liked the picture I sent you there, Mr. Farmer.
Very much so, sir.
I wasn't sure if Brian got it sent on to you on that, because I know he gets busy. So I thought, well, let's go ahead and send that this morning. You know, I just thought it seemed to put it over on the beating drum. It sounded like you had a place to put it. What do you think?
It was, yeah. No, I liked it. It looked really good. And, yeah.
It just needed to be a Niner on there.
Yeah.
Well,
you're missing
let's worry about
that's old SF.
Well, let's let the Steelers wrap up Super Bowl number 7 first, and then we'll work our way up to number 9, all right? Here we go. And
don't put your faith on your running back because he won't show.
Oh, well, he'll be there now. And
bada boom, bada bing.
Yeah, did you check that? Is the interview they had it? The article, I should say, partial interview with him on NFL.com. Saying, well, since he got hurt his rookie year, he wanted to make sure it didn't happen again, and that was his theology. Which, yeah, I can understand that, but realistically, for the whole camp, dude. Okay, not for the whole preseason, but, you know, we'll see what kind of shape he's in and how much they use him.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, one of the issues that I've also got with him is he also came out and said that he only wants the ball as much as needed for his team to win.
Right. Well, I have often thought that, too. They've had him in, you know, when they had a commanding lead, when any other running backs can pretty much do what they're going to do, when you know the run's coming, it would be great to have a belt, but you don't really need belt and getting banged up that much more when you had your second and third receive. You know, fullbacks, that's what we have them for. You know? And I thought they left him in too late in games as well. Because you'll notice that our record, particularly the playoff record, with him and without him. So, there is that. Now, the last playoff game that we lost in Denver, not only was Bell out, but also Mr. Perfect had done smacked Antonio Brown. He kind of thought he still thought he was Batman 4 or 5 days later. So, you know, that it was another problem. But, so I can understand him wanting more money because look at their record with him and without him. But then again, look at the time he's missed because of drug suspensions. But he'll be there. We'll see how much he gets the ball. And you saw where the Steelers did sign a corner from the Cleveland Browns, who we play week one. And Cleveland Browns were traded coach, one of the receivers from Pittsburgh. And I'm like, okay. I've never noticed that teams trading back and forth in a division a week before the season before. How about you? You ever noticed that before?
Well, no, I can say no, I haven't. It's kind of odd, kind of weird, kind of ominous, and it's bad.
Yeah, well, I take that back. Coach was traded, and the corner was signed. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But I'm like, I mean, particularly, within a week of the season starting. Well, give or take. I'm like, all righty then. And I did see a very fun article where the Cleveland Browns were burning the jerseys of the one guy that signed with Pittsburgh. I think they're mad. But anyway. And, Brian, as for your comments earlier about good players that end up finishing their career with other teams, I agree totally. They were talking a while right after Montana went over to the Chiefs and Rice went over to the Raiders about grabbing or letting veterans have special dispensation where therefore their money didn't count against the cap after they'd been there so long with the same team. But nothing
right.
To come of it. And which I think they should. Because, 70s, Franco Harris won the NFL rushing title as a Kansas City Chief. Mike Webster in and out of his career in Kansas City. And it's sort of like, okay, this just don't look right. But, and it shouldn't be this way. And at that time, it wasn't a cap they were done. And, well, they had a couple good years left now.
Well, it's like, how much longer could the Niners keep Steve Young held back? You know what I mean? So
right.
It was like, hey, we got this young stud. He's proven, blah, blah, blah. Joe, either retire or, Joe, being cool Joe, didn't think that it was time to hang up the cleats. So, he moved on and played with the Chiefs. So it's a matter of what's best for the team and not what's best for the person.
Yep, and of course Joe Montana had to do one more Joe Montana thing in Kansas City against my Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm like, are you kidding me? Will this guy just not go away? We are
right.
Hey, Farmer.
Hey, Farmer. Did you detect a bit of kind of like bitterness there?
A little bit. I think that's the most bitterness I've heard from Trucker JJ.
Bitter? I'm not bitter. I am definitely not bitter. No, it was funny because we pretty much had that game wrapped up, and then Montana stepped on the field and done his Joe Montana impersonation with about half the team around him that he had the last time he done his Joe Montana impersonation. Okay.
Now, Trucker, you're starting to sound like an 80s Cowboys fan now. Don't get salty up there.
Well, no, there's still a difference. I don't think the Cowboys made the playoffs in the latter half of the 80s. They did in the early half with Danny White, Harvey Martin, and some of their 70s hangover, and they were bringing more talent in.
Uh-huh.
And as much as I dislike Danny White, I think he's one of your historical unsung quarterbacks. I mean, there's a bunch of them, but he's definitely on that list.
Right.
It never quite made it there because, well, did I mention Joe Montana stepped on the field? Well, there you go.
Yep.
Love
a little salty
to
me, JJ.
The catch was awesome. I was cheering for you then.
So, here's the thing, JJ. Was Joe throwing it away, or was Joe actually throwing it to Dwight?
Oh, he's throwing it to Dwight because he was the only Niner over there, I think. And that was high, and he was taller than, I believe Epperson Walls was covering, but I think Epperson Walls only played on the other side. So, I don't know.
Because during that play, Bill Walsh told Joe Montana, throw it to Dwight or throw it away, or throw it to where only Dwight can catch it. So, for me, I watched that last night on my phone when I was waiting for my water main to stop being a B-I-T-C-H. And to me, it looked like Joe was throwing it away, and Dwight Clark was like, nope, I can get that. Hold my beer.
Right.
Well, and I remember watching an interview with Joe Montana not too long ago, actually, where they were talking about the catch. And he went through it, played just second by second, and his thoughts and his feelings and what he's seen and everything. And he said, I remember watching Dwight Clark roll out to the side like that, but he said, with everything going on, I didn't think I could get it to him. And he said, so I threw it up there knowing that one of two things was going to happen. He was going to catch the ball, or he wasn't going to catch the ball. But his initial thought process was, let's just throw it away, but put it in a general vicinity where he might be able to catch it. And lo and behold, we have one of the most iconic plays in NFL history.
Right.
That's the way you do it. Your guy or no guy, you know?
And that right there goes to show, one, it wasn't all Joe Montana. Yes, Joe Montana was an amazing quarterback, but that moment right there I love, because it goes to show that you have to rely on your other teammates to win the game as well.
Absolutely.
And that's one thing I loved about the 49ers, is they have been able to find a way to click and drive forward year after year after year. Now, granted, they've had their issues and a few offset years, but they always find a way to come back.
You know, if a team never had any crappy years, it would make the good ones not as good as what they are. So the crappy years, and when you come back being good, you actually cherish them a lot more than if you're a Patriots fan, because you cheat all the time, and that's how you win.
Exactly. I'm telling you, the New England Patriots are like the NBA. Oh, wait, did I say that?
Yep, you did.
But I'm just saying, you know, there's going to be a time when the Patriots suck again. And I would love
to
see
the
Patriots fans stay around.
Oh, I can't wait. So,
me better.
Also, I wanted to mention something else. Okay, so we had this massive trade go on between Boston and Cleveland recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not only did we have the major trade go through, but now Isaiah Thomas is going to possibly miss the first 3 to 4 months of his first season with the Cleveland Cavaliers due to hip surgery. So you go through a massive trade to get him, and then you can't even play him.
Oh,
I mean, he's gonna be out like the whole season, dude.
Right.
I would think those hip surgeries are generally pretty good. I mean, throughout, you know, pretty major that it's going to really mess you up. I mean, it looks like somebody would have been researching that.
Hey, Brian, do you think we can get the ownership of Radio AFS to go get a hip replacement and not show up in studio for, you know, 3 to 6 months, and I'll keep my job until he comes back?
I'm down for it. Let's go break a hip.
Sweet.
put the foxes in charge of the hen house. I'm digging it.
Exactly.
Now, he, now Isaiah Thomas wanted to wait. He wanted to hold off on doing the surgery. He didn't want to do it because he was heading into a contract year. And the Boston and the Boston doctors agreed. However, since he is part of the Cleveland since he was part of the Cleveland trade, you know, they have to go through the physicals and getting checked out by the other team and everything like that, the other team's doctors and stuff. And the doctors in Cleveland were actually more concerned and would have likely pushed for the surgery because they see an impingement and they see a problem that makes re-injury more likely. So they want the surgery. So they decided after this trade that, you know, after this trade that he's going to get his surgery taken care of. It's going to happen. You're getting the surgery. And so his argument is he's telling them, he said he's not damaged goods. He will return to being his old self.
Uh-huh. Keep grinning, so, sucker. You just got paid. That's all it is, brother.
Yeah. Thing is, if you've ever known anybody who's had a hip replacement surgery, 100% no. Now, most folks I know that have had hip replacement surgery weren't really big into working out to begin with. But so that's going to give Thomas a leg up. Sorry, couldn't help that. Can you think of another athlete in any sport that's had it and came back 100%?
Well, and then they're saying as of right now, he's not going to have the surgery unless the injury that he has worsens. He's got a labral tear in his hip. Now, unless it does not heal, unless it doesn't heal, he's not going to have surgery. If he had it right now, he would not be back on the court until right around Christmas, maybe a little later. Now, they're saying this is why LeBron James had reportedly cooled down on the trade and tried to back off on it and was saying, hey, you know, let's wait and see what happens, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, if you think about it, I mean, they need Isaiah Thomas to be right. They need him to be healthy, not just for regular season, but when it comes to playoff time, they need him in the game.
Right.
You know, and outside of that, if he's not there, then a lot of the playmaking falls onto LeBron's shoulders.
It does.
So LeBron can handle the responsibility of being the sole playmaker. We've seen that before. But, I mean, it's wearing him down having this happen early in the season. You know, this will take a toll on him. I mean, LeBron can't – I mean, we've seen it before. I mean, yeah, LeBron carried the Cavs to, you know, championships and stuff by himself. I mean, he led them to the playoffs and everything. I mean, he did that. But at the same time, he did have teammates to help with that. But LeBron's also getting to that point where he's going to need help. He's going to start slowing down soon.
We were just having that discussion a moment ago about relying on your teammates, you know?
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you think about it. When they're healthy, they're going to take a lot. Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas, when they're healthy, can take a lot of a load off of LeBron most nights. And we've all seen LeBron. He's not perfect. He's not going to have a great night every year or every game. So what happens when he has an off day? You know, we've seen that back with the old school. You go back to someone like the old Indianapolis Pacers with Reggie Miller. Yeah, Reggie Miller was a playmaker. But at the same time, Reggie Miller also had many days where he was off. You know, the Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan had off games as well. And what happened? Scottie Pippen stepped up. Rick Smith stepped up. You know, Chris Mullin stepped up. You know, I mean, all these players for their teams, they step up and help out. So if you don't have someone to step up and help you, then what happens? You don't win. So should he get the surgery now and come back around Christmas? I say if you know you have an issue, get the surgery, get it out of the way. That way you're back and you've got time to recoup and you've got time to heal. That way you're back in it. That way, and you hope your team can carry before you get there. So that come playoff time, if you're in the playoffs, then you're healthy and you're ready to play.
Right.
Because what happens if you wait and you realize that you're not going to have – you? What happens if you guys make it to the playoffs and that injury gets worse? And then you have to have surgery. Then you're out for the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he knew this was an issue in Boston, this should have been dealt with in Boston.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Why didn't he take care of it right after the season if it was that bad? Now, of course, now they're saying it's not that bad, but – I'll be real surprised if he finishes the season.
Exactly. But, Chuck and JJ, as always, it's great hearing from you, man. We definitely appreciate you calling in and talking about how great Joe Montana is. It's nice to hear that. Ain't it, Farmer?
Yeah, well, it is. We appreciate you, sir.
Well, that's the thing. You call it the way it is. And Montana was a great quarterback. It was just great for one too many games in my book. But, you know, hey, it worked, you know, because, you know, he's Joe Montana. We got Elway. We got Tebowed. We'll see what happens this year.
All right, JJ, man. It's good talking to you again. It's good talking to you, brother. We look forward to talking to you again, man.
All right, y'all have a good one. Bye-bye.
Later.
You too, buddy. Be safe. Later. So,
How did he put John Elway and Tim Tebow in the same sentence? That's why. Yeah.
Same team, I guess. I mean, you know, it's Trucker JJ, man. You can tell he's not all there.
Jesus. crazy that he put that. You know?
Oh, that's funny. Oh, man. So, man. Interesting stuff going around right now. I mean, we got Jenikowski refusing to step down. We've got a guy who knew he had a medical issue that could ultimately hurt not only himself but his team and decided to ignore it and push it off to the side. The doctors even were part of that and said, we'll wait till it gets really bad. Why not take care of it? What happened to catching it early? Because then it's not as bad of a tear. It's easier fix, quicker recovery time, and it gets you back on the court before any major games. I mean, if I'm thinking, honestly, logically, I'm thinking if I'm a player in the NBA and I have a tear that needs to be fixed, wait until it gets worse and possibly be out during the playoffs, or fix it so that I'm back on the court in time for the playoffs. Because, yeah, you help your team get to the playoffs. Right. I mean, you help your team get to the playoffs and all, that's great. But if you injure yourself and you're out for recovery and surgery during the playoffs and they lose, ultimately, whose fault is that?
Right.
You helped with that demise, but at the same time, I mean, I can understand his logic of thinking is if I'm off the court now, then how am I going to help them get to the playoffs? But my thing is right. you've got a strong enough team. You've got a strong enough backup there where you can go and you can go ahead and step out. The season hasn't even started yet. Step out, get your surgery. Get your recovery time, get back to training, get back in shape, get healthy, and then step back on that field and help them finish out that season.
Right.
That's just my thinking. But, hey, you know, it's logic, and maybe that's why I'm not, you know, in a position to run a – right, because, I mean, you know, if it was me, I mean, Ezekiel Elliott would be playing right now. this guy would be out for surgery. I mean, you know, Mr. Bell would have been told to fuck off.
All right.
I'm sorry, but if I owned an NFL team and one of my star running back was like doing what he was doing, I'd be like, you know what? Fuck you. I'll offer you less money.
Right.
I mean, they just let him basically run that team the way he wanted to run it. That basically tells him and everyone else in the league that you can do whatever you want to do as long as you're good.
Right.
You can walk all over us, and we will bow down to your every wish. And then for him to come in and be like, well, I'll take the money that you offered, but I only want the ball as much as needed to help
right.
win games. I don't want
right.
it anymore.
Crazy.
I mean, then again, I mean, there's that hidden eye in team, you know what I mean?
Very true, sir. Very, very true.
I don't know. But anyways, Farmer, I think it's about that time.
It is. It's been fun, and hopefully I will see you tomorrow if I haven't been fired. As you noticed, I kind of took it a little on the easy level today.
I noticed that. What you need to do is sit on a copy machine and then bare ass it on a copy machine, right? And then send it to
okay.
all of their invoices.
I like your idea.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
I may have to. So hopefully I'll talk to you tomorrow, B. If not, good luck with your new co-host.
Oh, no, no. I'm going to tell him right now, because, see, the Morning Cup of Sports is racking in a lot of attention for the network, and I don't think they're going to want to let it go. But, see, I'm not going to want to co-host the Morning Cup of Sports without my good man, Farmer. So
oh,
I'm going to pull a Mr. Levin.
Taking one for
I'm going to pull a Mr. Bell moment here, and I'm going to put it out that if I can't get what I want, then you won't have what you want.
Wait a minute. Who would give away the tickets on Friday then?
Well, I guess they'd have to figure that out. We might both get replaced.
Strong arm and the big man. Strong arm and the big man.
Then that means that Radio AFS is stuck with two 49er tickets that they cannot give away.
Right.
God, we're such assholes.
We are.
But as a, you know, it is that time. So we want to thank you guys for listening and tuning in. Definitely thank you, Trucker JJ, for calling in with your insight on how great Joe Montana and the 49ers are and how bad the Pittsburgh Steelers are. We all know that. He doesn't want to admit it, but he knows it secretly. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Make sure you guys check us out Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. on the East Coast, 7 a.m. on the West Coast. Make sure you guys check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Give us a like. Give us a share. Share that Niner Empire. Share that straight out of. Share that Stay Out of My Crease page. Sorry about that. And make sure you guys get your names added into that drawing. We will be giving away those tickets this Friday on your Morning Cup of Sports right here on RadioAFS.com, BlogTalk.com, Fatboy Media, DRCP Army. And until tomorrow morning, make sure you don't forget, tune in, and remember, who is the cream? Farmer.
And who is the sugar?
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.